Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. I'm here on this fabulous summer day getting ready to release a brand new episode for you. Today we are going to talk about sewing and a couple of other fun things with a new friend, Sarah. Before we get into that, I did just want to remind folks, head over to Instagram if you aren't already following spirituality.what. There's a lot of cool posts, a lot of fun previews and teasers for the episodes. Also post sometimes about the merch. You can head over to the website if you're interested in looking at any of the spiritual gangster or spiritual as fuck merchandise that we've created. Hopefully we'll be coming out with some new designs and patterns maybe later this year. But for today, we are going to talk to Sarah about sewing. And today is part one of a two-part episode. Sarah is going to talk a little bit about her upbringing and her experience in an all-girls Catholic high school. We are going to talk about her start to sewing, how she got into sewing. She's been doing it for over a decade and has finally decided in the last year or so to make a company and a business around it, and kind of talk a little bit about that, the meditative nature of sewing and the peace and connection that Sarah finds through the activity of sewing. We're talking a little bit about music festivals too, which is a really fun part of her experience and her drive for sewing and peace, love, unity, and respect. And we're even going to talk about an upcoming fun music festival, which is called Sacred Acre in Alaska. So we are going to dive right in. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Spirituality What podcast. I am here today with Sarah. Sarah, if you would like to introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Jones, and I was brought on today because I own a small business called The Comfy Hippie. And what I do is I use pashmina scarves to make different kinds of clothing. Right now, I started off with just hoodies, and then I moved on to pants, and now I am designing my own pashminas, and I just embarked on the journey of trying to make overalls, which was really challenging, but I was really happy with how it came out. So right now, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. I moved here when I was in second grade. Before then, I lived in Texas for a little while, but Louisville has always been my home base. I love it here. I went to an all-girls Catholic school, high school.
Oh, interesting. Yes,
it was, and I did not grow up Catholic, so it was very interesting. And then I ended up going to Western Kentucky University, where I got a BA in fine arts and a minor in psychology. And I guess that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. So I am going to start this discussion today with the same question that I ask all of our interviewees on this podcast, which is, what does spirituality mean to you?
So spirituality to me, the first word that I think of is connection. Every time I think of spirituality, I think of connection to either a higher power, whether that be God, whether that be the universe. To me, I don't really believe in a God per se. Like, the universe is my God. Connection with yourself, your beliefs, your friends, your family. I think it's life itself is spirituality, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Even if you're not a spiritual person, spirituality is still a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Like, even if you don't like recognize the spirituality in things, like, it's kind of still just there.
Yeah. It's the way you connect with things, like even if it's with nature, like I believe that that's a spiritual part of life. But lots of people would probably, think that's crazy or disagree, but that's what spirituality is to me.
Awesome. So you mentioned, and this isn't something I knew about Sarah coming into this conversation. So this is all good stuff, but you mentioned this all-girl Catholic school. Like I'm interested to hear about like what was that all about? And then how does that change your perspective on spirituality or didn't, or how did, like let's talk about that for a minute.
So I had gone to public school my entire life, and then my mom decided she wanted to go back to school and become a teacher. And when she did, I was about to go into my ninth grade year at a local public school here. And she got a job at the high school that I attended. And she asked me, she's like, "Do you want to come? Like, I know you're not too happy at the school you're at now." And I was like, "Yes, actually, I would love to." So I went in not knowing anyone. It was really scary because I don't know if you know this about Louisville, but the Catholic school system is huge. Like,
Oh no, I did not know that.
oh my gosh, it's huge. We have so many Catholic schools here. So all the people that I was going to school with, most of them, I would say like 90%, already knew each other since childhood and had been in the Catholic school system their whole life. So that was a challenge, but I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't grow up Catholic. I was raised Episcopal, but it was never something that I was forced into. You know, if I wanted to go to church at a certain age, I think it was around like 14, 15, maybe, I was allowed to choose for myself. I personally didn't find anything. I didn't get anything out of going to church. I feel like my beliefs didn't align completely with, what the pastor might have been saying or something like that. But yeah, it was interesting for sure because, we had to take religion classes every year. We had to take multiple religion classes. And I mean, while I don't have the same beliefs as people that practice Catholicism, it still was just very interesting to learn, I mean, everything about the Catholic religion. Like, I didn't know anything really about saints. Or like, Mother Mary is a really, it's a huge figure in the Catholic Church, and that's not really a thing in the Episcopal Church. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Again, I don't really believe in a God per se, or the God that's written in the Bible. But I went to school with a lot of girls that were atheist, or some were even Buddhist. So it was a mixing pot, even though it was a Catholic school, which was really cool.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, this is like probably maybe a dumb question, but as
No.
somebody who never went to a religious school, I just assumed like everyone practiced that religion when they went to that school. I guess that doesn't
No.
not a requirement.
Yeah, no, you would think so. I thought so too. I was like, oh my gosh, I have a different religious background than all of these people. Like, are we going to be able to have conversations about that kind of thing? Or, how are relationships going to go in that regard? But yeah, no, I mean, a lot of my friends, we share the same beliefs, and I was not expecting that. I was expecting everyone to kind of, be really in line with the Catholic faith and kind of die hard
That's
almost.
kind of, yeah, I'm like, is that like a Hollywood that gave us
Yeah.
that perception? Like, where did we come
I
up
don't
with that
know.
viewpoint? But okay.
And it probably was back in the day when nuns were there teaching and everything else. I'm sure, it was a lot different. But being, what am I, a Gen Z, I think it's slightly different than it might
Slightly
have
different
been,
now. Okay.
But it was a good time. I loved it.
Interesting. Good. I'm glad. Okay. So really quickly, I have said this before, maybe even just on this podcast, but I am not an expert in religions. You mentioned one difference between the Episcopal religion
Faith,
and
yeah.
and Catholicism. Like, are there any other kind of like main differences like that you would call out?
Honestly, they're pretty similar compared to other branches of Christianity. There's just a couple things like prayers, we don't say the same. Communion, same kind of thing. Very small differences. But I think the biggest one is the saints, like believing in all the saints and stuff, which I thought was super, super cool. And I wish that would have been a part of the Episcopal Church, but it wasn't.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that is definitely an interesting background. I think you and I have very similar perspectives on spirituality. I've mentioned that before on my first podcast episode, as it was like me ruminating on my definition, which I came up with genuine connection
Oh,
as
really?
sort of, yeah, as my definition. And it was exactly sort of that. It was authentic, aware connection with all of these things, with your pets, with your friends, with your garden, with whatever sort of it is that you're interacting with. But this, like, I might add, genuine and authentic connection and presence now. Maybe I might update that a little bit to include sort of the presence aspect, because I think that that's really what gives you the genuine connection, is the ability to separate from the distraction of everything else and be present in the moment. But yeah, really similar.
Yeah, that's awesome. And even
Cool.
growing up, like I said, I grew up having to go to the Episcopal Church, but my mom has always been a very spiritual person, I would say. So I think I get a lot of that from her. Like growing up, we would go to a bunch of healing fairs, is what
Oh, I
they
love that.
called. Yeah, healing fairs. So we would go and, get our auras read and photographed and look at the different crystals. My mom would get her chakras aligned, like things like that. So it has always been there in my life, but I feel like my version of spirituality now aligns more with like that part of growing up, not
Rather than the
really
organized
going to
religion
church.
aspect,
Yes. And me and my mom believe heavily in spirits and in the afterlife, stuff like that. So we've gone to see a bunch of different mediums,
Oh, cool.
things of that nature. So yeah, it's always been around.
So you're just kind of open to all of it, sounds like. Awesome. Okay, cool. So you mentioned a little bit in your introduction what we are going to get to today specifically, which is about your business, about sewing, about creative work, kind of as connection to spirituality or a way to express spirituality maybe. So let's talk a little bit more about that. So how did you get into sewing? What is the background there?
So I actually got my so I
No
actually
pun
got
intended.
yeah, no pun intended. I got my first sewing machine probably 15 years ago. My stepmother was actually the one who kind of got me into it. She owned a children's clothing store where she would make clothes and do like embroidery and stuff like that. And her and my dad, they live in Mississippi, a very small town, so there's not really anything to do. So during the summer she would sign me up for like a art and dance camp, and then she would also sign me up for sewing camp. And I've always been a creative. Again, that's what I went to school for. Art's always been a great avenue for me in all different ways of life. But yeah, that's how I started. I started going to classes and I kind of fell off a little bit. Not a little bit. It was probably 8 or so years that I didn't even touch the sewing machine. It just sat in its little box in my closet. But once I started getting into the festival scene, actually, I noticed and I loved how many small businesses were there that were hand making and sewing their own clothes. And I just thought, that would be so cool. I would love to do something like that. And sometime last summer, I was inspired by a couple different companies to pick up my sewing machine and just try it out. just try it again. Even like I didn't have any patterns or anything like that. I was just like, all right, let's take some of my own clothes, look up some YouTube videos, how to make patterns from your own clothes. And I just started from there. And ever since last summer, I haven't stopped. So it's been a whole different world for me as an adult than it was as a child.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking of that. I was wondering when you mentioned this like 8-year gap, like what was your relationship to sewing when you were that tiny kid?
So then it was more of something to do when I was bored. Not really, you know, it didn't have any real purpose behind it. It was like making any other craft, like, oh, let's try to make a pillowcase today, you know.
Yeah.
Something small, and then I was like, hey, I forget about it. I'm gonna go do something else, other form of art. And now it's like my main avenue, my main form of art that I'm doing daily. And I'm sure you're going to ask about, you know, how it's related spiritually. So I'll let us get into that later.
But yeah, no, we could go right there right now. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Well, just really quickly, like when you're talking about it as a kid, like when you say, I got signed up for these camps, like I saw you as like a little kid in my head, like, you know, just like, oh, humdrum. Like, it's cool when you're doing stuff at a camp, but you're like, okay, cool, that's my camp thing. Like, I'm not doing that now. That's just like a thing that I do. And so it's interesting. Yeah, so I guess what is that spiritual connection for you now?
So, being that I have a full-time job on top of this, sewing right now is my only real form of creativity that I get to have when I come home from work. And I've come to like it more than drawing, which was my main form of creativity and like art form for a really long time, which I still love and enjoy doing. But there's just something about sewing and it being repetitive that's very meditative. So just cutting the fabric to actually bringing it to the sewing machine, like each step is different and has its own rhythm, I guess. So a lot of the times, you know, I'll put my phone away, or if I don't put my phone away, I'll have like a YouTube video on or a podcast or anything like that, some music. Most of the time I can't listen to music because I'll dance around and it's just not a good combo with sewing.
I'm with you on that. Like, like it's too distracting. Like people are like, I listen to music during my workday. And I'm like, the only music I can listen to during my workday is music I don't know at all.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'm singing, I'm trying to dance, I'm grooving, I'm mistyping. I'm like, no, not possible.
Yeah. And I've messed things up doing that before, just like, you know, dancing and then not really paying attention to how I'm cutting the fabric. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to chill. But yeah, it's a spiritual practice for me because it brings me peace and I'm able to, like I was saying with connection, like connect with an art form. I don't know if that sounds strange, but
I don't think it sounds strange. I heard you say a couple things. So I heard you said connection, but you also said disconnection, right? So you disconnected, like you put your phone away. And even with the music, like you want to maybe kind of do that, but it's too hard sometimes. So it's like disconnecting from what we just talked about, like all the distraction and all that other stuff, and hyper focus on the present moment, like what exactly you are doing in that moment. Like that's what I hear you saying, right? And you were talking about connection earlier, and that's like exactly what we were saying, like the ability to, I don't use the word connect again because we've used it like 8 times. Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I totally hear that. When, like what switched? Was it, you know, in the last year, it was sort of always spiritual for you, or you were like, hey, I want to do this business. And then it became a spiritual kind of activity. Like, was it something that changed kind of recently or?
So it's always been a spiritual practice, I would say, but it has changed.
Okay.
So when I was first doing it, it was very relaxed. I wasn't on, you know, any time constraints, you know, because with a business, I take a lot of custom orders and I have to make sure that I'm on a schedule and, you know, distributing my time evenly. Before, I wasn't having to do that. So it was a lot. What am I trying to get out here? I guess now it's different because I'm able to share my art and know that it's making people happy. Like before, I was just making it to make it. I would put it out there, be like, oh, does anyone like this? Oh, well, yeah, it's true. It's at first it was, you know, like, hey, this is what I made. If anyone likes it, hit me up kind of thing. But now that I know that people, you know, they have an expectation, they know what I'm putting out, they order, you know, from something they've seen, or maybe have like an idea or something like that. And just knowing that I'm able to make someone their dream hoodie. A lot of people have told me that, which gets me choked up because that's just so cool.
I mean, to be clear, I cannot wait until I get my, Sarah and I like messaged about this before, like, and we'll talk about a little bit of the festival scene here, but like, I'm not a pashmina person. Like I have scarves. I have other scarves that aren't pashminas, and I just don't wear them. Like, but as soon as I saw Sarah's hoodies, I was like, I am buying two just so that, not so that I can even wear them to then make them into a hoodie. I'm like, I'm buying them to make them into a hoodie, period.
Yes.
Like,
so
I am super excited. It's a really cool idea. And now I'm going to be buying more merch and more stuff to support my artist too, which I'm excited about.
Heck yeah. See, I'm mad at myself because I have so many. I'm kind of like you. Like, I like to wear a pashmina, but a lot of the times I don't want something on my, just like hanging around my neck. Yeah. I get really hot and sweaty, especially, you know, at a festival, getting hot and sweaty. I don't really want that around my neck. And I have so many, and I want to make a hoodie for myself, but I just never really set aside the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, one day I'm going to make my own artist pashmina hoodie. It'll just, I don't know when, but one day, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. So you did this. And then when you were able to bring joy to other people, sort of the spiritual connection amplified for you.
Yes.
Basically kind of what you're saying.
Yes. And I think the biggest thing that I've taken away from this business is how many people in the community that I've met, how many online friends I now have, people that I haven't even met in person, but I would trust with a secret, like that kind of thing. I've met you, for instance, just like great, great people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that has played, like, that has been huge for me. I love the festival scene, especially, you know, like the rave scene. And I think making clothing for the rave scene is just different because the mindset is different.
Yeah.
If that, you know what I,
it does. So
what I'm
getting
at.
Yeah. I have a note right here that we have to talk about, like, what is the festival scene? So when you say festival scene, for people who have never heard that terminology and have no idea, I know you and I know, what you're saying, but for people who don't know what you're saying, can you explain a little bit of what you mean when you say festival scene?
Yeah. So honestly, it's a group of like-minded people. Most of the time, it depends on the festival that you're going to. Like, personally, I rather go to a smaller camping festival than a city festival because different festivals bring in different people. Mm-hmm. Especially like EDM festivals, for me, they bring in, I guess I would say, my kind of peeps, just the same mindset, the same outlook on a lot of things, like in life, spirituality, just different. A different connection that you would have with someone outside. I'm trying to describe it.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe.
It, It is. So like the basics, generally, I think it's music. It's
Music.
around, it's around music. So that's part of it. I agree with you, Sarah. There's a difference to the where the festival is. Like if it's out in the boonies and you have to camp versus it's a place where, you know, kind of where would be hotels or the kind of music is different. There's obviously music festivals of all different kinds. I have nothing against heavy metal, but I cannot imagine going
Not
to
your
a
jam.
heavy metal music festival. I don't even know. I'm sure they have them. And like, dude, I like Disturbed. Like, I listen to Disturbed. Yes, like I can sing lyrics from Disturbed songs, but like I just cannot imagine a music festival that way. So I think what when you say like-minded people, and EDM is a great place to start, and I think that's where we have a lot of common ground here in this conversation. What do you mean when you say like-minded and mindset?
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is creativity. I feel like the most creative people I have met in this community, which to me makes us like-minded because we all like to create things. And I mean, the way you treat people, I mean, a huge thing in the community is PLUR, peace, love, unity, respect. And that, you know, it is in some places it's dying, in other places it's not, but people do have that just common respect for one another. I know a bunch of the smaller festivals I go to, like everyone is looking out for everyone. Doesn't matter if it's your friend, doesn't matter if you don't really like the person that much. If they're in trouble, if they need something, people are gonna come and help. I remember that this isn't a small festival, but at Electric Forest, I was laying listening to String Cheese. I was super, super tired and I was just taking a little nap, and at least five people came up and tapped my friend on the shoulder or even me on the shoulder and was like, "Is she okay? Does she need anything?" And it's people like that. Another example, going to Lollapalooza, completely different kind of crowd than Electric Forest or anything
I
like
was
that.
thinking, what's that crazy one, that big huge one that got mudded out this year, like rained out? It's in California. It's in like a sandy place. Is it
Oh
called?
Lord.
Oh my God, I feel like I should totally know what this is called. It's like very big. It's like 100,000 people.
Not
Coachella.
oh, I was literally about to say Coachella. I didn't know
Yeah,
it
I'm
got
like,
rained out.
isn't that, maybe there's a different one that got rained out. There, all the big ones, I'm like, they're way too big for me. I'm not going
I
to that.
think the biggest ones that I go to now are Bonnaroo and Electric Forest. Bonnaroo is my very first festival ever, and it's right
Oh.
close to home, so
Nice.
I feel in my heart like I can't miss it.
I want to go to
So
Electric Forest really bad, but you should come to Sacred Acre in Alaska sometime. It's pretty cool.
Sacred
Yeah, there's
Acre.
an EDM festival in Alaska called Sacred Acre. It's the second weekend usually in September. And
Okay.
it I
That's
think
cool.
the max size it can be is about 7,500. It's on its third
That's
year
so
this year.
nice.
So it's relatively small. It's about 3.5 hours, 4 hours south of Anchorage. But yeah,
Nice.
it's a cool festival. They have a lot of cool stuff to do.
And I'm sure it's beautiful being that it's
Oh my
in
God.
Alaska.
Absolutely.
I can even
Absolutely beautiful.
imagine.
Yes. Okay, so this festival scene where we've got people coming together based on a certain type of music, generally for a couple days at a time, you've got a lot of really creative vendors.
Yes.
So
Yes. That's
you
another
said
thing that.
those were the ones that kind of inspired you to start sewing. Is there a particular vendor, or it was a particular person, or just kind of overall the creativity?
Yeah,
What was
so the first people that I saw like making any kind of clothing from Pashminas was actually Spun Glasses.
Okay.
And they're at a ton of festivals, and I think they've been making them for about 10 years or so. It's been a while. But I was really inspired by the Elephant Tribe. He is an awesome designer, and I actually have one of his. He makes Pashmina coats,
Oh, cool.
and they have like buttons up
Oh,
the
nice.
front, and it actually has a Pashmina attached to it So instead of like a hood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So really, really neat. So just seeing these people play with a material that isn't conventional to sewing really piqued my interest. And I know another great company is Camaroo Clothing. I don't know if you've heard of them. But they are, they're also an amazing company.
Well, we'll put links. I'll put links to all those places so that people can take a look at it.
Cool, yeah.
That they're doing as well too.
For sure.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining for part one of this two-part episode. Join us next week to learn more about the Pashminas and what Sarah does outside of sewing to connect to her spirituality. Thanks again so much for listening to the podcast and have a wonderful rest of your week. See you next time. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality what? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.